Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, precious saints of God. I hope you're doing well on this Wednesday, this rainy Wednesday, this cloudy, dark Wednesday. Well, I was at church today praying, and what a wonderful time with the Lord. A follow-up to our beautiful prayer meeting last night. I hope you're blessed. I hope the Lord is ministering to your heart this day. I hope he'll minister to your heart this evening by means of this study. And I hope he will minister to your heart as you spend a moment with him, prayer and meditation and reading your Bible before you go to bed tonight. We're talking about wilderness fellowship. Oh, how God would have us to enjoy fellowship. That's one of the great features of Grace Church. We are a people that really know how to fellowship. Well, the fellowship I'm talking about, or the fellowship that the prophet talks about in the text, is not us fellowshipping with each other. It's a fellowship on a grander scale. It's God fellowshipping with us and us fellowshipping with God. So let's go to Hosea 2:14, the prophet Hosea. And this is what the Lord would say to us in this day and age. Therefore, behold, I, who's the I, the Lord, the great I am. Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness. He He will bring us into the wilderness, and he will speak comfortably unto her. Let's pray. Dear God, dear Heavenly Father, we are drawn to this text. We're drawn to it by your Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who this week decided to point this text out to us as a people. And we welcome the message, Lord. We welcome what Hosea 2:14 conveys to our hearts. Now, Lord, I pray, let us take it to heart. The word is targeted, is meant to reach our hearts. May we take it to heart, what God intends for the heart. Oh, Lord, bless us. How we desire to be with you. Speak to us, Lord. Speak to your people. How we hang on every word that proceeds out of your mouth. We are so encouraged to know that it is you. It is you who allures us. It is you who gives us the invitation to meet you in the wilderness so that there you could speak to us. Not to have some preacher speak to us. Not to have some revivalist or evangelist or apostle or doctor to us. But no, it is you who send out the invitation. It is you that have prepared the place. It is you who will do the speaking. You are the featured speaker. Bless us, O God. Oh, bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. This word, this text, is a amazing text. It's amazing because to this point, God's Old Testament church has proven to be unfaithful to a faithful God. If ever there was a people who could really convey what infidelity was, it is the children of Israel, the children of Israel, the highly favored children of Israel. They are the poster child, the poster children for infidelity. You look up the word infidelity in your dictionary, and there is a picture of the nation of Israel. God was so faithful, they were so unfaithful. God in his love, he says to her, as we studied yesterday, I will allure her. I will persuade her to do the right thing. Thus far, my people, my ancient church, has been doing the wrong thing. As a wayward wife who does not want to keep her marriage contract, she has not listened, she has not obeyed. I've spoken to her tenderly, I've reasoned with her, and all she will do is she will go a-whoring after other gods. And here yet again, God reaches out and says, therefore, behold, I will try again. And this time I will succeed in alluring her. I will. That word allure, it's a great word because it means that God will be able to convince the church, persuade the church to come back to him. Unlike her paramours, unlike the false gods who enticed or deceived her to leave her faithful husband, God will not resort to evil methods or evil means to bring his church back. He will not entice her. He will not deceive her as the old serpent has done again and again and again. No, God will use truthful means, holy means, to convince her evil ways and to bring her back to her senses, and in so doing, she will come back to her God. Yesterday, the key word was allure. Today, the key word is wilderness. I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness. Not only does God send out the invitation, he sends out an invitation for us to meet him, for us to fellowship with him in the wilderness. The word wilderness has many connotations in the Old Testament, but in this particular text, it speaks of a desert resort. A desert resort. Desert resorts are very popular even today. There are many desert resorts that offer package deals to couples and to husbands and wives and to come and come to the desert resort. Right now, Saudi Arabia and other nations that live in the Middle East that are geographically located in the Middle East, they have taken many of their desert places, turned them into viable resorts. A desert resort. God wants to bring his church to a place of isolation. God wants to take his church away from everything that the world has to entice her and entrap her. So the first thing God wants to do is isolate his people, isolate them, isolate the church. Isolation is a great thing if it's God who's doing it. Now, if somebody grabs you and puts you in a house, in a building, in a resort against your will, and not for your good but for their good, then that isolation is no good. That's what you call kidnapping. But here God reasons with his church. He presents arguments to his church that are right sounding and which would bring his church to its senses. And then he says, now here is an invitation to a desert resort because you right now, you need to be isolated. You need to stop hearing all of these many voices that cause you to become distracted. So isolation. The second thing God wants to do in this desert resort is rehabilitation. His church needs to be rehabilitated. And then finally, the third is indoctrination. The church needs to be nourished. Indoctrination doesn't mean that somebody brainwashes you. Well, in some instances, yes, some people have been indoctrinated. Some people have been brainwashed. But when it comes to God again, God is not into brainwashing us or into drilling into our minds of things that he would have us to believe. No, indoctrination is when God nourishes his people with wholesome doctrine. Wholesome truth. So let's go to Exodus 19, because in Exodus 19, you have the first example of God taking his people into the wilderness. In fact, before you go to Exodus 19, turn with me to Exodus, if memory serves me correct, it would be Exodus chapter Exodus chapter Exodus chapter 3. Let's go to Exodus 3. Okay. Exodus chapter 3. And in verse 12, it says, God speaking to Moses, and God says, certainly, Moses, I will be with you on this mission of liberation. And this will be the proof or the token telling you the truth that I have sent thee. When you have brought forth my people out of Egypt, you will come back to this mountain and serve me. Now, that mountain was situated in the desert of Sinai. Sinai. That's where the mountain was situated. Another example of this God bringing his people to the desert. Go with me to Exodus chapter 19. Let's go to Exodus 19. Starting at verse number 1, Exodus 19:1. Exodus 19:1 is the fulfillment of Exodus 3:12. So let's read, starting at verse number 1. Exodus 19, verse 1, and following.
In the third month after the children of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on the same day, they came to the wilderness of Sinai.
You see, Mount Sinai, Mount Horeb, was in the wilderness of Sinai. And God said to Moses, the proof, the evidence, the manifestation, the token that I am not lying to you is that you will bring these people who you will liberate with my power, under my direction, you will bring them back to this wilderness, to this mountain. Sinai, for God's people and for God, was the wilderness resort. This is where God wanted to isolate his people. He took them out of Egypt. He brought them out. That he might what? That he might isolate them. That he might separate them. The church is a separated group. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. God wants to isolate us. He wants to make us his holy people, his peculiar people. And he does that by what? By drawing us, bringing us out of the world to him. Isolation with him. Then the second thing he does is he rehabilitates us. In the case of the children of Israel, they have been slaves for 400 years. Their minds are messed. Their self-esteem is messed up. And they've been born into slavery. All they know is slavery. So God needs to do what? He needs to rehabilitate them. Mentally, they're screwed up. They need some talking to. And then finally, God wants to nourish them by means of wholesome indoctrination. So let's continue reading at verse 2.
For they had departed from Rephidim, had come to the wilderness of Sinai, and camped in the wilderness. So Israel camped there before the mountain. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain.
Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings, and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me, above all people. For all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel.
So Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before them all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." So Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses,
"Behold, I come to you in the thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you, and believe you forever."
So Moses told the words of the people to the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses,
"Go to the people, and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and let them be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down upon Mount Sinai."
You see, what is God saying in the text? These are my peculiar people. I'm going to make your kingdom a priest. You shall be a holy nation. You're going to be my special treasure. All the other people on the face of the earth. But notice how they got there. He says, if you go back with me to verse 4, he says, "Have you seen what I did unto the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself? I brought you here. I brought you to this desert resort. My purpose for bringing you is to separate you from all the other people in the earth, to tell you that I'm going to make you a kingdom of priests, that I'm going to make you a holy nation, that you will be my peculiar treasure." So that sounds better than slave. That sounds better than you're going to be my nobodies, because that's what they were in the eyes of the Egyptians, nobodies. Slaves to be whipped, slaves to be beaten, slaves to suffer verbal abuse, slaves to be treated like beasts of burden. Now God rehabilitates their thinking, and now he indoctrinates them. He nourishes them. Now, let me show you in the book of Revelation. Let's go to Revelation chapter 12. This is the same language, Revelation 12. Revelation chapter 12. And I want you to read with me verse 6. Revelation 12, 6. And it says, "And the woman fled into the wilderness," the woman being the New Testament church, just like the Old Testament church. "And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God." See? God says to Moses at the burning bush, "I have prepared a place for the Israelites." They're in bondage right now. They are suffering severe brutality right now. But the proof, the token, the manifestation of all that I'm telling you is true is they're coming to this desert resort where you are right now, where you're talking to me right now at the foot of this mountain, Mount Sinai, in the wilderness of Sinai. I will bring them to this desert resort. And so here God says in Revelation 12:6 to the New Testament church, "And the woman fled into the wilderness, where God has prepared a place for her, that there he should feed her, that there she would be," what? "Nourished." Now, let's go with me to verse number 13. Let's jump down to verse 13. "And the dragon saw that he was cast down to the earth, and he persecuted the woman who had brought forth the man-child." Verse 14. "And the woman were given two wings of a great eagle." Well, isn't that what God said in Exodus 19? "How I brought you here on eagle's wings, and the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly," where? "To outer space? That she might fly to Mars? That she might fly to Jupiter?" No, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her designated place, where she is nourished. Ah, my brothers and sisters, God has a place for the church It's a spiritual resort. It's a spiritual wilderness, place where God plans to isolate us from the filth, the garbage, the abuse, the nonsense, the pettiness of the world. And there he transforms our thinking. He rehabilitates our minds. This is why Paul says, be ye not conformed to this world. Don't be conformed to Egypt. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, rehabilitation. And then comes indoctrination or nourishment. Now, how many people in the church today, how many people are acting just like Gomer, Hosea's wife? How many people have departed, not from the church? People think, well, I left the church. Well, I hope you didn't leave the Lord. I hope you didn't depart from the Lord, because it's really, fellowship is not with a building. Fellowship is not with brick and mortar. Fellowship is with God. That's the real fellowship. Fellowship with God and your fellow saints. A person who's backslidden is a person who has, as the world, its paramour. You are in love with the world. We're told, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if you're in love with the world, the love of the Father is not in you. How many people today does God need to allure? Does God need to bring back? You know, the Bible says, this is God speaking again through the prophet Isaiah. Although your sin be as scarlet, right? I will make them white as snow. But if you notice, before the rehabilitation, because your sins are like scarlet, you need to go through the rehabilitation process of God. But notice what God says first. He says, come, let us reason together. Let me convince you that you're wrong. Let me convince you that you have departed from me. Let me convince you that you are backslidden. Come, let us reason together, say the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, and indeed they are, because you have been in the world. Though they be as scarlet, I will make you white as snow. That's the promise. But you got to come to the wilderness. You got to come to the mountain of God. You got to come to talk to God. God will come down and tell us what he expects. So, notice. God's choice meeting place. What place is that? The wilderness. His spiritual resort. Not his vacation resort. His spiritual resort. Where he can get to you and sit you down and have a one-on-one. Where he can isolate you and go through an intervention. And after the intervention, after talking to you, then he can begin to what? Change your thinking. And once he changes your thinking and you have been rehabilitated, now he nourishes you with the truths that will save your soul. Isolation, rehabilitation, indoctrination. That happens at God's spiritual resort called the wilderness. May God bless us today. Oh, may we take God's invitation. May we take God's invitation. How many young men in my years of ministry told me, Pastor, I've hit bottom. Would you take me to a place where they can help me? And on many occasions down in New York City, I took many a young man, never a young lady, always young men, take them to a drug treatment program. And then they would be isolated from family. You couldn't even call in for a month, 30 days. They would be isolated, and that was the agreement. You go in, no contact with anybody for 30 days. While you're in there for 30 days, they what? They rehabilitate your thinking. And they nourish your soul. Sadly, how many of those young men that went into those programs got back into the filth and into the sin that was so easily besetting them? How quickly did they go back? The same day they came out, 30 days later, they were back in the mud. Well, that's a human resort. It's God who's dealing with us. It's Almighty God. Only God can really change the heart. Only God. Those programs, they're a Band-Aid. What we need is God. Isolate people, rehabilitate them, and nourish them. If he does all three, they'll make it. Thank you, Lord. We love you. Help us, Jesus. We pray. Amen.
There is never a day so dreary. There is never a night so long. But the soul that is trusting God can in mercy pardon.